Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, here is what I have come to as a conclusion in the last 24 hours. The CFL must play at all costs.
How about that?
This is a situation that the CFL's in. And if these players don't want to play and the deadline's coming, it's 9 days away, can you please tell me what they're going to do then?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good day, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the RP Show. It's hour two of episode 276 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. Although I know that it's afternoon for a lot of our viewers. Want to do a shout-out right now to Craig Campbell. He's watching from the Hockey Hall of Fame, downtown Toronto, Front Street, right? I've been there. Well, you've been there. He wants you all to know that the Hockey Hall of Fame is open again, officially today. And I don't know where to go with that other than to say if you're going, budget at least 3 hours, at least minimum 3 hours, probably four, if you're going to the Hockey Hall of Fame in downtown Toronto.
I would say if you're excited about the playoffs, or if you're not sure if you're excited about the NHL playoffs, but you kind of want to be because you're a hockey heavy, you just can't get it. It's summertime.
Get you into it.
Go there. Like every time you go around a corner, you just fall in love more with the game of hockey. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And the other thing, by the way, coming up in hour two, Drew Tate, CFL great, Grey Cup champion, Ryan Ballantyne, Stampeders blogger and podcaster. We'll get to all the CFL stuff. Did a lot of hockey yesterday, so we'll do a little more football today. But with the CFL sim, the winner of the poll yesterday of Canada's Game of the Week is the BC Lions at the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Friday Night Football. I'll be sitting in this chair calling the game with you, 7 p.m. Mountain. Computer simulated. Last week's broadcast, 25,000 viewers plus. I think we can beat that. Every week it's doubling. But this ties into our broadcast on Game Plus in that we really wanted Hamilton to beat Calgary last week in Hamilton. We really wanted it. And they didn't. Calgary won in Hamilton 18-8. And I said to Darren when the show was over, now I know how a commissioner feels.
Yeah.
They do have favorites in the league office because we're the league office. We wanted Hamilton to win. Now, stick with me. I was on TSN 1290 Winnipeg this morning talking about all kinds of things. Cam Newton, CFL return, NHL. It was a riot with Jim Toth and Troy Westwood. And at the end, I could say, guys, can you tell your listeners on the air? I said, we're now available on Bell MTS cable all across Manitoba on Game Plus. But when I was on Fan 960 Calgary on Monday, they don't really get Game Plus. They don't get Rogers cable in Alberta. So if you're watching in Alberta, you need to watch on Facebook Live. A Shaw deal would be nice. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
But in Ontario and Quebec, we're all over. Everybody's got Game Plus on their TV. Yeah. Rogers Cable, Cogeco Cable. In Quebec, Videotron. And through the Maritimes. So the point being, as we were talking about in our morning meeting today, curses. Maybe we need to talk more Eastern Canadian sports. And we're like, no, that's not the idea. But you see why TSN is Toronto-centric is my point.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you brought up.
Oh, you do. You start to understand. We look at that and start thinking, man, with the TV deal, national television, we have a big audience potentially out in Eastern Canada and Atlantic Canada. You know, whether it's Toronto or Quebec.
Stop the presses!
Whoa.
Randy Nichols says, we have you on TELUS in Alberta. Thank you, Randy. Can you tell the guys at Fan 960? So, TELUS cable. Sorry, continue.
No.
So, we are available in Alberta.
Okay, but you realize there's a big audience out east, and you think, if that's the majority of our audience, and those are the buying viewers for products that advertise on our show, we better tailor some content towards Eastern Canada. And now you start to understand why TSN and why Sportsnet comes with that Eastern perspective. But I think what they love about this is that we can have coverage of the teams out in Western Canada. We can have coverage of the teams in Eastern Canada. But it comes with a different perspective than what they're getting. They're only getting the Eastern perspective. Now we can give them something a little bit different.
Yeah. So I was on the phone with a hockey guy yesterday, and he was talking about the show, and he wants us involved in something that we're doing. And I just said, he was like, how are you having as much fun as it looks? And I said, yes, because we're relearning all new stuff all over again in new markets.
Yeah.
You know, and what goes over here but might not go over there. And it's cool. By the way, our rock star of the day yesterday, I did not get to this in hour one. It was a tie.
What?
For the first time in history. And you'll never guess between whom. Darren Dreger of TSN and Moose Jaw Warriors assistant coach Gordy Burnett.
Whoa.
A tie.
Whoa.
Each one had 41% of the vote.
Okay.
Today, you'll be voting for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions on Justin Dunk, Robert Witchell, Drew Tate, or Ryan Ballantyne. Which, by the way, the Blue Jays have texted me. And the text says, thanks for having Robert on. Love the interview. You're the man. From the Blue Jays.
Very cool.
What did we learn from our new summer student, Mad Max? Kissing up works. Why weren't we doing it 25 years ago?
I don't know. But we're doing it now.
But we're doing it now. And God knows how far it's going to take us.
Oh, yeah.
Should have been doing it a long time ago. Let me know when we got Drew Tate. Quick six show topics here. Jays had an intra-squad game last night. Toronto won. Bo Bichette homered.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the highlight of that at
no,
all.
No, but I heard.
Point two, a CFL update. That came in the form of Justin Duncan, hour one. If you missed it, you're going to want to go back and watch it. But JD basically said Randy Ambrosi is very quiet right now because the players have the owner's proposal in their hands. Randy doesn't want to say anything that can be used against him by the players. This is up to the players right now whether they're going to play or not. I can sit here today 50-50 at best whether the CFL is going to play or not.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my reaction, my gut feeling, and doing a little bit of reverse engineering the timelines, kind of figured mid, kind of third week of July to the end of the month would be when they'd have to come out and make an announcement to make sure they have, you know, time for players to get in and stuff in time for a September start. So that gives us a couple of weeks, like 2 weeks right now. We're in the crunch time to when I expect to hear something from Randy. If we don't, I will really be on the side of the CFL's not playing. So if we don't hear anything in 2 weeks, I am not going to be very confident at all.
That's a long time. For players that are anxious right now, two more weeks. They tell me Drew Tate's ready, so I'm just going to fly through the rest of the quick six show topics. Are players expendable? Unfortunately, they are, as are everybody else in an organization. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Point four, do you have a problem with pro athletes crossing the border? Neither of us do. Point five, are you in favor of Vladdy moving to first base? I'm not in favor of it. Producer Clark is. He's going to come out of his cage later on and explain why he's in favor of it. And point six, how and what are you following in return to play? NHL, NBA, NFL, and so forth. You said NHL and NFL. I'm honestly covering it all evenly.
Right.
And immensely enjoying it. Okay, let's go to Texas now. I'm not sure if he's in his hometown of Baytown, Texas, but Drew Tate joins us, former Red Black, Rough Rider, Stampeder, BC. There he is. He's out for a walk. How you doing, Drew?
Hey, I'm good, Rod. How you doing?
I appreciate you finding some time for us. Clark wasn't sure if you were ready. What exactly are you doing, Drew? Tell us what you're doing at this very moment.
No, I was out. I meant to leave earlier, but I was hanging out with some people down at the water, and so I got caught up, and I was like, oh, man, it's already like 11:30 or whatever. So I was going to walk back to the car, but now I'm just kind of chilling, trying to find somewhere to sit so I can just – so you don't have to see me do all this.
I like it. If you want to walk and talk, let's do it. Where are you, by the way? Where exactly are you at this moment? What town?
Kingwood, Texas.
What's famous about Kingwood, Texas? What's it famous for?
You know, that's a good question. I haven't been here long. My parents moved here a few years ago, so I came and I'm staying with them for right now. And I couldn't tell you much. I mean, I know it's a city northeast of Houston, and it's still and it got annexed into Houston. I don't know how, but it sure did. So I don't know much history about it. That's all I know.
That is a very big land space there for sure. We could have just said Houston. So, Drew, what is your life like right now? We knew you were with the Lions last year. They had the change in the coaching staff. You were on the Coastal Carolina staff. You came back up here to play for a while. What is up in your life right now, man?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Well, I mean, I think I'm a casualty, just like a lot of people in our business, of the coronavirus. I got offered a job actually at a Division III school in North Carolina as a OC QB coach, and I was all ready to take it. And then 2 weeks later, COVID hit. So Coach Card was like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, he doesn't know either. And so I said, okay, well, I'll just stay here in Houston. And then, you know, cause you know, so unknown, no one knew anything of what was going on. And so just stayed here. And now with all this football stuff that everyone's talking about, man, I just said, screw it. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to get certified to be a high school football coach and teacher. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, good for you. Good, because you've got a lot to offer to the kids and pros eventually. That's where you will find yourself. There's no doubt when this is all said and done. So what is your take on the CFL right now? Are you following it, by the way, with the players? And they're going to have to vote by the 23rd. What do you think?
Okay, now I didn't know that. You know, I've been following as much as I could without being, you know, too involved. But, you know, I just think it's unfortunate. Like I said, I mean, I think everyone in the CFL is a casualty of this COVID, just like a lot of other people around this world. And, you know, it is unfortunate because I feel like if there's not a season, then it's going to probably put the league in jeopardy. And but with the season that I've seen that is proposed, you said, what, in 2 weeks, it's up to the players to say yes or no, basically?
Like July 23rd
or something like that?
By the 23rd, a week.
Oh, okay. So like a week, yeah, okay. So, you know, I saw a little bit of it. They want like 6 games and then the revenue. I mean, that's – I'll tell you what. And it's the CFL, you're going to get guys that just want to play. They don't care about money. But then you've got veterans that have already established that don't want to play for pennies. So I think that's where your pickle is, to be honest with you. But again, you know, I don't know what they all want to do. It just seems so the time's running out. There's so many logistics that goes into everything, and then the hub city proposal. It's just it's hard for me to see it. But like I think I heard you say earlier, it's 50-50 right now. Which I mean, I think that's fair to say it's 50-50, and we'll find out in a week.
Yeah, Drew, I'm gonna tell you right now. This is the best interview you and I have ever done. And that includes that time I interviewed you for Big Ten Network. Remember that one when you just showed up in Regina and I interviewed you in the end zone? Do you remember that?
I remember.
Looking back at your CFL career, I think there's a lot of guys that are actually happy they're not a player anymore. I just get that sense from guys that I interview. And with your career, I can't think you got any regrets. You've got your ring. You hold a record. I'm not sure if you know that or not, but I'll get to that in a second. How do you look back at your CFL career?
I mean, you know, it's bittersweet, to be honest with you, but just the bitter part, just from the injuries and not being able to play for my teammates. But the sweet part was, man, I got to spend 11 seasons in uniform, full season. Then I went back to Sask for, what was it, 2018, just for the playoff run. So, I mean, I wasn't really involved in that season because I was down in Coastal in Myrtle Beach, but just popped back up for that little run late. And then, yeah, I was able to get up to Vancouver for last year for BC. And I mean, I'll tell you, honestly, I enjoyed coaching more than playing. No doubt, no question
Wow.
about it. And then being able to live in Vancouver and then coach quarterbacks. I mean, that was the sweetest gig I've ever had in my 35 years on this planet.
Wow. So you got to tell me why, because you know, you got so many buddies in the game. They say, I don't want to put in the hours the coaches do. Most guys don't want to coach. Why do you?
Well, I grew up in it. My dad was a coach. It's all I ever wanted to do. I wanted to use like football as a means to an end. I wanted to play as long as I could. And then when I either got tired of it or no one wanted me, then I wanted to jump into coaching. I love the game. I love what it represents, what it offers. You know, it's the ultimate team sport. It just, you know, I think accountability is the number one thing, not only on players, but coaches too. I mean, everyone, especially in a professional building, just accountability on everyone's part, being professional, just really enjoyed that. To me, I mean, if I enjoy what I'm doing, I'll do it for 25 hours in a day. You know what I mean? I mean, dead serious. So, I mean, if it's football, I can do football all day. It doesn't bother me. And then the best part about the CFL is you get 6 months off. Coaches, players, everyone. So, I mean, what job? What's better than that? Just grind it out for 6 months, football, and then you're off for 6 months. Like, I don't know anything on this planet better than that.
That's a pretty good deal, and you can go back to Texas. Hey, trust me, I get it, but not everybody sees it that way. That's why I'm asking. So 2014, yeah. You led the CFL in rushing touchdowns by anybody. That's my point. How many – do you remember how many rushing – that's running backs, too. Do you remember how many you had?
No.
Okay. Well, I think
– what was it, like 12 or something?
I got to look it up. I got to look it up, but I got to think that's a record for rushing touchdowns by quarterback. But he at least led the CFL in rushing touchdowns, which is saying something. But what I remind – but – oh, it's 10. Producer Clark just told me it's 10. Still 10. Not bad.
Oh, okay. All right,
that's pretty good. But here's my memory of you. 2012, West semifinal. Last play of the damn game. You come out from the 35-yard line and find Rombie Bryant on a 75-yard touchdown bomb.
Duh! Oh, man. Wasn't that crazy? Yeah.
What do you remember about that play in that game?
All right, well, I mean, the game was already an emotional game. My grandmother was being buried that day, and I decided to play that game instead of go to her funeral in Alabama. And it was actually, if you kind of look at it, and you wouldn't understand, but the way I look at it is that was pretty much the turning point in my playing career. Not saying, you know, I should have gone to my grandmother's funeral or I should have played, but I ended up breaking my throwing wrist that game, and was able to finish it. But what happened was that when I broke my wrist, it just came back. It didn't heal right properly. And then by the next season, I had a tear in my ulnar nerve, which was caused from a loose wrist. And so, which pretty much ended my, you know, starting career, I think, as a CFL quarterback. So, you know, it was kind of one of those things like, oh man, if I don't go to that game, that probably doesn't happen. I can probably still be a pro quarter, like a starter. Right. But, everything happens for a reason. But that game happened. That was an emotional game. It was an emotional week for me, really, because I found out she had passed probably like Tuesday or Wednesday of that week. And I knew my grandmother, she would have wanted me to play in that game. So, yeah, so all that happened. And then the game was just, first off, being cold. I mean, oh, my God, cold. But the game was awesome. It was a great game. I remember, you know, Sass played great. You know, we were kind of up and down, hit and miss a little bit. But, I mean, I got a concussion in the second quarter and broke my right throwing wrist in the third quarter, you know, and still was able to finish that game. And it's just like dumb luck or the football gods or my grandmother. I don't know. But someone helped with that. And
do you think the football gods were saying you should have been at the funeral?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just throwing it out there.
My grandmother would have said, hey, y'all, he's got to go again. He's got a game to play.
All our families say that, of course. You're the Brett Favre of the 2012 CFL playoffs. But so do you think if you weren't hurt, you would have started in the Grey Cup that year?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. I mean, I'll tell you what. Now, getting to the Grey Cup might have been a little harder because, you know, the next week we went to BC and they were pretty good playing there. And they kind of laid an egg that game, you know. And I wonder if it was just because, oh, you know, we're playing Kevin Glenn, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. That they just kind of were like, oh, hey, well, Tate's not playing, so you know, we got this in the bag. And then, you know, they were able to go in there. And I don't think Juwan Simpson played either that game, if I can remember. So I think Daron Mayo stepped in and killed it too. So, you know, I think it was one of those situations. You know, I don't know for sure, but I could just see that playing. You know, oh, the starting quarterback got hurt last game. We got the backup. Like, oh, we're good. We're good enough. You know, and we were able to beat them.
Well, that happened in 07 with the Riders. As you know, right, did you not get a ring? Weren't you around in 07?
Yeah, it was my rookie year. I was there with Coach Austin the whole season. It was awesome.
Right. I'm just saying, so you know the feeling. That's probably what the Argos were thinking. And by the way, I love KG, but that was not his best game. Even he would tell you he was very erratic in the first quarter and first half for the Stampeders in that Grey Cup.
Yeah, you know, that was a hell of an atmosphere, and that was everything. But, you know, I mean, here we are. We're playing Toronto in Toronto, you know. So Toronto players, you know, they live in Toronto, so they ain't going out and doing anything. Here come people from Calgary. We want to enjoy the Grey Cup in Toronto, so probably on their feet a little more, you know, a little more distractions and enjoying it a little more. And then, yeah, Toronto just came out and kicked their butt. You know, Chris Jones had a great game plan on defense. You know, it's funny, a lot of people said that he was watching practices and they had a tell on a couple of our linemen and stuff like that. You know, who knows, maybe, but, you know, still got to go out there and play the game and win. And, yeah, we fell short that game, but yeah, you know, those things happened. And they had, you know, I know Toronto, that they came on strong. I remember Ricky got hurt kind of midway through the year, kind of did his knee and then kind of came back slow. And then once he came back, they actually kind of took off. And they were a load. They were good that year.
They're a team of destiny. We had Chad Cacker talking them. They weren't going to lose that day. there's no doubt. So your Wikipedia says Grey Cup champion 2014, but that's what I thought. You got two rings, right? 07 and 2014.
Yeah, I got two rings. Yeah. I got a Sask ring and a Calgary ring, man. So, you know, and going back to you asking me about my career, I mean, that's a hell of a career. I mean, think about how many guys play 10 plus years that don't even make it to a Grey Cup, let alone, you know, win one or lose one, right? So, you know, I think I'm pretty blessed on that end. I was able to go, four Grey Cups and one, two. So, you know, it was really cool. It was really, really cool.
That is a pretty good percentage. Listen, I'm sure your arms are getting tired. Drew, let's do this again. Great catching up with you. I know you're going to be great in the game, so good luck and stay safe down there. We'll look you up when we're in Houston next time.
Cool, Rod. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Drew Tate joining us from Houston, Texas. That was awesome.
That's super cool. Like, I've never had a conversation with Drew Tate. Right? I've never met him. It was before my time getting into the business around here and things like that. But you see him and on the field, and he's got the tinted visor.
personality, you think.
It kicks the crap out of you because he's good, right? Seems a little bit like a little arrogant, you know.
Yeah, they all have
got a little swagger, but you get, you know, behind the helmet and stuff, and like just a great dude.
Or under the helmet.
Under the helmet, great dude.
That's the thing. He's always been somewhat aloof with the media and not very forthcoming. Like when Clark said he had Drew Tate, this went way better than I thought it would. Let's put it that way. Fair,
yeah, fair.
But you get the guys out of their element because they don't have 573 things on their mind the day before the game or right after practice, or, right?
Yeah.
The guy's walking through the damn woods in Kingswood, Texas.
What could be better?
What else has he got on his mind? But the other thing is, and I'm going to break, and by the way, John Ohm, where's my gonger? Where is it?
Did you hang it back up?
Did I hang it back? Oh, I did. Why do I always hang it? John Ohm. Says, ask Milt Stegall. No Grey Cups. Ooh. That's cold. But it's true. The guy's got two rings. But I'll just never forget the Big Ten Network called me. And they said, we're going to... They basically used me as a microphone stand. They said, we're going to send you 10 questions. Go out there and interview Drew Tate in the end zone. Don't deviate from the script. So I did. And that was Drew's rookie year because he's a really big deal at Iowa, as you can well imagine.
Yeah.
I should be putting that on my resume that I worked with the Big Ten Network. You don't stop to think about it at the time.
Right.
Who cares if they just use me as a microphone stand?
Still happens.
Nobody needs to know that. He's been on the Big Ten Network. They never actually showed my face, which is a good thing. We'll be back with a sports update and Ryan Ballantyne upcoming. Stampeders blogger, podcaster, and chief punk. It's the RP Show, episode 276 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. We'll be right back. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse is a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG, always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or the donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports update here for Wendell Clark's opening day rosters gained clarity on Tuesday in Major League Baseball when the Atlanta Braves reached an agreement with Yasiel Puig, and Tampa Bay pitcher Tyler Glasnow provided hopes for teams awaiting players to be cleared following positive tests for coronavirus. Puig agreed to a one-year deal pending a physical. He was the last big-name free agent from the offseason who had not signed with the team. He helps the Braves fill a void left when Nick Markakis opted for the season. July 24th, Blue Jays at Tampa Bay. Home opener July 29th, God willing, against the Washington Nationals. We just don't know where. Stop the pause for a sec.
Yes.
What a time to be alive. 2020. We don't know where the Jays home opener is going to be played, and it's in 14 days.
Oh, boy.
Think about that for a second.
Have no idea where
it's going to be. Think about that for a second. Can you imagine being the powers that be? You wonder why, as Drager said here yesterday, it's a stressful time for the NHL. No kidding.
No kidding.
And that's why I've been very, I myself have been not critical of the commissioners, of the leaders. I haven't been critical of them, if you've noticed. Who would want to be a leader at this time? They have no idea what they're doing, and they would tell you that privately. How could they know? There's been no roadmap of this, ever.
Yeah, exactly. Let me go look and see what he did when we went, wait.
You can't.
No.
The Cleveland Browns are closing in on a contract extension with star defensive end Myles Garrett. Garrett, the number one overall pick in 2017 and one of the NFL's top edge rushers, and the team could have the deal completed in the next day or so. NFL Network reported the extension could be for 5 years and $125 million, which would make Garrett the league's highest paid defensive player. The Browns have been discussing the extension with Garrett and his reps for months. This sports update is for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, where it is... Check the calendar.
Wendell Wednesday.
Wendell Wednesdays.
The Wendell Burger.
$13.95 for the Wendell Burger. I've had it. I endorse it. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, $20 gets you the entire variety pack. 7 different flavors. Choose from chocolate chip peanut butter, almond coconut, coconut peanut butter. Not as rank as you'd think. For $20, 7 bars, just order them from g2gbars.ca. As Ben Cahoon says, 3 or 4, and you're addicted. It's the best protein bar out there.
Oh, yeah.
We do have breaking news on the NHL Awards. We'll get to that because we're going to bring in our longtime friend, Ryan Ballantyne from the Horsemen. Like he's laughing already. Stan Peters, blogger, podcaster, and chief punk. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good, man. I'm really excited to hear that Ben Cahoon's protein bars are not as rank as you think. What an endorsement.
Did I say that?
What an endorsement.
Clark, don't send him that clip. Don't send him that clip. And also of Big Brother Canada. So, Ryan, yes. Can you settle a tie here? I said that my gut tells me the CFL will play. Naylor doesn't seem to think they will play. And the CFL, what do you think?
I mean, I don't think they should play. Let's be frank. Like, you've got the situation with COVID-19 and the coronavirus is completely out of control in the United States. And half the players in the league are going to be coming up from the United States. So you've got, they're not looking at quarantining these guys. You're not looking at a lot of cash for these guys. What is it? The 33% paycheck. I just really don't think it's a reasonable thing to try and put a season together. And I completely disagree with your take that if they're gone for a year, that it will damage the league and be irreparable. I mean, unless there's some sort of financial consideration that TSN can sue them for, I really don't think that there's any reason that fans won't love them more when they come back. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder. A year off from the CFL, I think, will make those passionate, diehard CFL fans really kind of come back to the game in a way that they might not have with this six-game season. I don't see anybody running around saying that the six-game season is something that they really desperately want. You know, all the fans I see are seeing people say, I just want the players to be safe. And I think that's another thing that for me sets the CFL apart from other sports leagues. I think the fans care more about the players than they do in the other big four, if you will.
I think they do too, but they want them to be safe, but they don't want they don't care about grocery workers that are working on the front lines or health workers. Like, I'm not being argumentative here, Ryan, at all. I think we both would like to see them on the field. That's all. And I just think with what Naylor's saying that the CFL could survive without a season is that he's providing a soft landing spot here for the league in the event that it doesn't play. But I'm also very big on, in the recovery world, brain pathways, habit. And if people get out of if they start watching NFL, dude, if they start watching NASCAR and all the other things that can take their attention away, it's going to be hard to get them back. Could you at least agree with me on that?
I think anytime you take any kind of sports and put it in front of people, they're going to pay attention to it. But I think if you watch an NFL game and you don't love the CFL just a little more, I don't think you're really that big a CFL fan in the first place. When you watch the NFL game, they slam into the middle of the line. They're trying to get CFL offenses going. I mean, Patrick Mahomes looks like a 90s era Doug Flutie out there just firing passes all over the place and wowing everybody. And isn't this spectacular? It doesn't really take into account that that's what's happening every week in the CFL. The CFL is a unique game. It's unique to Canada. There's a great reason to watch the CFL. And for me, as much as an NFL fan as I am, and I am, I watch NFL football as well. That makes me love the CFL that much more. And I think the diehard, passionate CFL fans are going to really want to dive back into the CFL even though their attention would be gone. Just because my buddy went away on vacation doesn't mean that I'm not going to go for a beer with him when he gets back.
Yep, fair enough. But to me, I think the CFL is a far better product than the NFL too. But it comes down to marketing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all.
It's all dollars. I mean, if the CFL, if you made the CFL rule set the NFL rule set next year, NFL honks would be all over it. They'd love the CFL rule set. You know, if it had always been that way, it would be as popular as ever. It is a marketing issue. It's what my dad grew up with. It's what I watched on TV with my dad when I was a kid. And that's what we're getting into now with what we're seeing with the NFL. It is absolutely a marketing machine that they drive billions of dollars into the market every year and pull even more billions out because they were able to get themselves on TV on a Sunday afternoon when there was nothing else to watch.
Well, we can agree there then that the CFL does need to evolve from a marketing perspective, but not necessarily a football perspective, because I do believe it's a tremendous product too. Now, one of the notes Clark sent me to bring up in our topic here is the six-game season. So I think you might have tipped your hand here by saying you don't think they should play at all. So that would probably tell me that you're not a fan of the six-game concept.
I mean, I think you need an 8-game concept at a bare minimum, and then what you do is you decide to hold the Grey Cup inside in the playoffs, or the playoffs inside. I think you have to have an 8-week schedule where every team plays each other at least once, because otherwise some teams are going to get the competitive advantage of not having to play Hamilton, of not having to play Calgary, of getting to play the Argos or getting to play the Red Blacks, and other teams not getting to play those teams. I think when you look at a 6-game schedule, the competitive imbalance, especially when you're talking about the team with the best record hosts the Grey Cup. Well, if your team has Calgary and Hamilton on it and you don't get the Argos and the Red Blacks, what kind of competitive disadvantage are you at? And then you're not going to be in as good a spot headed into the playoffs. I think you need to do a minimum 8-game schedule, have the playoffs, and confirm early that you're going to book BC Place, or you're going to book, you know, the Sky Dome or some ridiculous thing where you're going to have the games inside in the playoffs, because then it doesn't matter if you go into December. You know, you're playing outside in November in Winnipeg anyway. Like, it doesn't stop the game from being meaningful, because we're not going to have fans going to these games anyway. They're likely going to be in a hub city. Then put them in the hub city of Winnipeg for your regular season, and then move into the playoffs and do those inside where the weather won't matter, and it doesn't matter if you delay the game to December.
But you still don't think they'll play. Am I right on that?
I don't think they'll play. I don't think they're going to be able to get around it. I think if it was a Canadian league made up of Canadian players, I think they could absolutely do this. But that's not what we are. We're a Canadian league made up of half Canadians, half Americans, and, you know, you're 1% global players or whatever. But at the end, there's no way you can bring these guys up without isolating them and testing them regularly. It's just not going to be feasible.
I agree. And sorry to cut you off, but it's just, I'm with you. I flop back and forth. Everybody says that. Morley Scott was on here Monday, said the same thing. But Randy Ambrosi and the governors are trying to move mountains to play. So it's like,
of course they
right.
have to. They, of course, the league has to do it. The league has to move, look like they're moving mountains. The league has to give every appearance that they're going to do everything they can to get the players on the field, because otherwise you lose the loyalty of the players because, well, we just canceled the season and it doesn't matter. And so those guys that are on the, you know, the 46 of 46 guy on the roster, maybe he's not coming back to the CFL. Maybe he's going to move on to a different place in his life because they've said, well, they went a whole year without paying me, so what does it matter? I had to go out and get another job. And you also can't tell the fans, hey, we've canceled this. We don't care. Even though our championship game isn't for another 5 months, we're already telling you it's not going to be okay. The optics have to be that the league has to show every step that they're taking towards making this happen. A realist standpoint, though, when you see what's going on in the States, this isn't closing anytime soon. They just shut the border again until the middle of August or end of August. This isn't happening. And I think the sooner they embrace that and say and come out and say it's a safety thing. Hey, for the safety of our players, we care so much that we're willing to take this hit. Fans are going to, you know, my season ticket money's still there. They can hold on to it. I don't care. I don't need it back. I'm still going to be going to games when it's in the future. You know, It's the broadcast partners that might make the difference here.
I saw a report from Hamilton that over 90% of Ticats season ticket holders have left their money with the team. So there's no doubt that the love for the league is there. But I think it's going to take more than that. Lastly, producer Clark has put on the prompter that I should ask you about why the Flames should lose in the first round. Is that the notion that you're purporting here entering the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I'm a Flames fan. I'm a Flames season ticket holder. I will put those two things right out front before I say that. I'd rather have a 1-in-8 shot at the best player in the draft than a second round team. I don't think the Flames are good enough right now, realistically, to be Stanley Cup champions. And so there's two big prizes on the line right now with return to play for the NHL. There is the Stanley Cup, and there is the number one overall draft pick. Those are the only two prizes available to playoff teams. And given that my team could have a 1 in 24 shot at the Stanley Cup or a 1 in 8 shot at the number one overall pick, I'd rather have the number one overall pick than a second round loss.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got the Jets to win it in five anyways, and I'm not even a Jets fan. So maybe you'll get what you wish, Ryan.
I mean, who is really?
Say what? Say that again?
I said no one is really a Jets fan. The city of Winnipeg has disappeared from my sporting landscape. And I can say that. I know you can. Didn't you have a Jets jersey on the other day?
No.
Or a Bombers, something Winnipeg.
It was a Bombers shirt.
And how did that feel? Like, I can imagine it would be like me walking into a church and putting the holy water in my eyes.
You know what?
I just can't imagine it would feel good.
It wasn't as hard as you'd think, as a matter of fact. It wasn't as hard as you think at all. But I will say this. I don't know that I will ever see eye to eye with Calgarians. And I don't even know why it would be worth trying. I just don't know why it would be worth it. Do you think that day would ever come? And is it even worth while exploring?
Look, it's not that you can't see eye to eye with Calgarians. It's that, the part is tough because as a Riders, a longtime Riders employee, you spent so long looking up that it's impossible to be looking eye to eye. Calgarian fans know who you are. And let's not forget that, as part of what you do, picking on the Stampeders was a great thing to do because they were the front dogs. And so they're the ones that you're going to attack all the time. If the Stampeders sucked, we never would have heard from Rod Peterson. The reason we heard from you was because we were the lead dog and you guys wanted to be the lead dog. That's fine. I have no qualms. You always attack the guy in first place. You know why everyone hates the Patriots? Because they've won a ton. Everybody hates the Cowboys because they've got five rings to show for it. The reason people hate the Stampeders is because they're the best team in the CFL over the last three decades. And that's not even arguable. Statistically, three decades of dominance from Calgary. And so Calgarians don't like it when people take shots at them. And you took your shots. I see it for what it was. It's fine. We're good.
What color is the sky in your world, Ryan?
Well, based on the Roughnecks, Stampeders, and Flames all being that right, perfect red, the sky is blue, but in the CFL, the standard is red.
Well, we had Nick Lewis in here saying the Stampeders underachieved. So I just remember every time the Riders played him in the playoffs, we beat him. When the chips were down, Sask won.
Let's not say every time. I mean, first off, you had to get to a game against Calgary, which is not something you did all that frequently. It's one thing to say we came
were you
in and we
sick?
Upset you.
I don't want to turn this into a WWE skit. But were you sick the day of the 2010 West Final?
No, I was there. I mean, again, you've got individual playoff victories that you can point to, which is great. The problem is with Calgary, we've got so many playoff victories that it's hard to remember individual ones because we've
or
got
losses,
so many of
or
them.
Losses, clearly. Okay, Ryan.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I appreciate the go-around. Let's do it again soon.
Every time and anytime, Roddy, always happy to be here.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Ryan Ballantyne, Chief Punk. He likes that out there in Calgary. Oh, here's one. Don't put this on my tombstone, guys. Jeff the Stamps fan just wrote in, you have to be great to underachieve, Rod. Said no one ever. We're going to talk some Blue Jays next. Hang on. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED. LED sign rentals. Video. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I just got to say this before. As I said before the break, Jeff, the Stamps fan, said you have to be great to underachieve, Rod. He's walked it back because I soundly mocked that phrase. You're not going to see that on any motivational meme anywhere. You have to be great to underachieve. Jeff says, I'll admit, okay, when you said it out loud, it didn't sound as good as it did in my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Producer Clark's here. We've let him out of his cage for a while. How you doing, Clark?
Hey, it's good to be back out here.
It's been
warm.
A while.
It's been warm out here. It's so cold in the dungeon in the back there.
I would take cold.
It's tropical out here.
I would take cold. Well, there's no bright lights back there.
No, yeah.
This is literally bright lights.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Couldn't bring you out for national TV, though. I don't know if you're ready for that yet or not.
I gotta shave.
No, don't shave. You and Ballantyne are on the beard train.
Yeah.
So listen, there's a reason we brought Clark out of his cage. Out of the bullpen, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's to talk baseball because, am I right in saying it's your number one sport?
I play, yes. Yeah.
Not as a fan?
I got really into hockey in the last 5 or 6 years, just working in the industry and being such a Leafs fan. But, baseball's still number one.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You're more into it than me.
Real summer-winter thing, though, too, honestly. You know.
Good point. Yeah. So our poll question today is, for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center, how do you feel about Vladdy Jr.'s move to first base with the Blue Jays?
Mm-hmm.
85% say they like it. 15% say they don't like it. And I voted that I don't like it. This is on Twitter, and Jordan's putting up the results of the poll. Can you please tell me what they're saying? Is it Jordan that puts that up? I have no idea what you guys do back there.
Yeah, it's me usually. So okay. There he goes. He got it.
80, a couple clicks. Right on 80% say they like it. And here's the reason that I don't, because I'm getting a lifelong Blue Jays fan here, total not an expert or a pundit. But I do know that Vladdy had the worst third base fielding percentage in all of the majors last year. So what I don't get is, why would they move him to first base where he's going to handle the ball at least three times more, maybe four times more, because we know him as a slugger. Look, his little figurine here isn't him fielding the ball in the hot corner.
Nope, that is a big swing.
It's him slugging.
Yeah.
So why do you like it?
Sure, I'll convince you.
Sure.
Okay, counter argument, worst third baseman in baseball, why keep him there? You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Why would you keep him at third base if he's going to continue to struggle? However, you look at some of the big-time home run hitters. Even today, Albert Pujols, started as a third baseman, moved over to first. Miguel Cabrera started as a third baseman, moved over to first. And there's others. Jim Thome started as a third baseman, moved over to first base. So there's plenty of Pablo Sandoval before he got too fat and cut out of the league. Started third, went to first. So there's an argument to be made that if you struggle at third because you're a larger man, it's something to do with you're not able to move quickly side to side. Your reaction time might not be quite as it is as a more spry, littler third baseman. And to make a move, you have to move into the ball, you have to move side to side, and then make a throw. Whereas first base, you're receiving. So it's a little bit different. I know you said, why move him at first where he's going to be handling the ball? You're just playing catch at first base. It's not as you're not getting hit 90 mile an hour ground balls at your chest that you have to receive and then throw. So
you're not transferring the ball.
Yeah, it's just you're just playing catch. You just have to be in position, and it's a lot. It's the pressure is off because you're not constantly worried about getting a ball hit at your face at third, where at first. It's funny. They're the same position, opposite sides of the field, but there's something different about first base. You don't get the ball as much and in terms of ground balls, and you do receive the ball a lot more, but you also are in the game differently. I was a first baseman, so I feel like I was once called, I'll give you a fun story, I was once called the worst defensive first baseman I've ever seen by my junior college coach.
How'd that feel?
Really bad because it was in front of the entire team. I still have more mental
scars.
Issues with that. Yeah,
trauma.
Yeah. Shout out DP.
By the way, I don't think that Vladdy's going to be the next John Olerud, but hey, they got time to change it. If it doesn't work, they move him back. I mean, yeah. They don't have 182 games; they've got 60. But what the heck?
Yeah, and if you think he's only 22 or whatever, 21, yeah. They can absolutely move him back. But if you look at the guys I mentioned earlier, the Pujols, the Cabreras, the Thomes. Their batting averages went up that year they moved to first base. Like it does allow you to focus more on your hitting. So
John Ohm is watching. Ohm in Winnipeg. He says, cool cap, Clark. What's it all about, please?
Yeah.
Now would be a good time to give them a plug.
Yeah. So we had it on the desk, I don't know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. This is We Are CDN. This is their brand. They sent us a hat, and I stole it immediately, and I've been wearing it ever since. So We Are CDN, you can check them out. They have all the provinces. They have a bunch of cool stuff. It's all for Canadians, so it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, they have it for Manitobans too, John. You're in Winnipeg. Or if you want to wear it to represent Saski.
Yeah, I think they have city codes like Regina.
YQR.
I think they have REG. It's like WPG for Winnipeg, all those kind of EDM for Edmonton, those kinds of things.
We Are CDN. Follow them on Instagram would be the best,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're all over, but I think Instagram's their go-to.
You know, I already tweeted the Rockstar poll, but I wish there were five options. I would put you on it.
Well, I hope I convinced you about Vladdy.
I'm at, let's give it a try, Ben.
Sure.
Let's give it a try and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And on the CFL, what the heck, since you're here.
Yeah, we got some time.
Oh, hang on. Chris Cooper's watching in Toronto. He says, let's drop the moniker, the Jays being Canada's team. That's reserved for the Riders. And just because the Jays are Canada's only Major League Baseball team doesn't mean I should cheer for them. Anyone who lives in Toronto doesn't care about anyone or anything outside the GTA. Add to the fact the majority of Torontonians look down at the CFL.
Okay.
Listen, if I want to call them Canada's team, I'll call them Canada's team. I gave the Riders the name Canada's team. And by the way, everybody calls the Blue Jays Canada's team. And the Raptors. Mm-hmm. So we are a national show, Chris. So the Riders, frankly, don't own the term Canada's team. Sorry to tell you.
Where did Canada's team come from? Who made that quote?
We did a clip on that.
I know. I'm bugging you.
Hey, from Alan Lee, Alan the intern. Hey, Clark, yes. I can't wait to interview you for LTD Radio.
Yeah.
I can't wait to listen to it. But listen, we're getting off track. I want your take on the CFL. Listen, are they going to play or are they not going to play?
Ryan, what he said in the last segment was really, I actually agreed with a lot of what he said. Just the fact that, you know, it is going to be so complicated. The players are so frustrated. And we've gone on for what now, 2 months or so with not hearing a solid plan from them. I'm kind of with a lot of the players. I wish they would have just given up on it earlier at this point, almost.
Yeah.
Because it would have at least given us some closure as fans and as media to move on to next year and start planning for it. It seems right now that they're just stringing everybody along to eventually let us down. And I just don't know if that's their plan, or if this is all just, like you said earlier, Dr. Fauci, if they're just going one day, they're learning as we go. It's just kind of a hard situation for everybody. And I just feel bad for all the players who are out there in limbo right now, not knowing what to do or what to do with their careers. It's tough.
So you're saying no.
I want it back, but it's just such a weird time right now, and they've gone so long without any plan. It's hard to see. Hard to see a plan.
All right, Clark. You're batting 1,000.
Woo.
Thanks for coming out.
Thank you.
DuPont will be in next for overtime. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the rock star of the day and a whole lot more. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is the overtime segment. For a lot of people, it's their favorite. I'm just going through the Prairie Mobile text line here at 306-840-8777. Your authorized Sastel Mobility dealer is Prairie Mobile. And by the way, since we're giving sponsor love, did you see the commercial for Suds? I was thinking about this. My dad used to say, when you wash your car, it runs better.
Really?
Have you ever heard that?
I have never heard it.
There was some old wives' tale of my dad's. You wash your car, it runs better.
I believe it. When you wash the dad, everything looks good. It feels like a new vehicle.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it seems to drive like one, too.
It's sort of the look good, feel good vernacular.
Exactly.
Or line of thinking.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody's asking me where Big Bird is, which is stunning to me that people would care about a vehicle. But my Jeep is in the shop at Canadian Tire, and they're awaiting a fuel pump that's coming from, apparently, the Middle East. They could have got it here sooner.
Could have made one.
I could have made one. It's a 1975 Jeep CJ. Parts aren't particularly easy to find. But I'm not snapping. I'm losing a lot of good Jeep days in the summer. But you know what? First world problems right there.
Yeah.
Jim Wagner writes in and says, beauty show again today, guys. Best 2 hours of the day. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Thank you, Jim, because the other day we were coming to the end of the show and I was all giddy and happy and doing the show. And then I was like, back out into this world.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
If I forgot about it for 2 hours. Metal Shingle Guy writes, wow, this guy is just a bit out there. Have you been on the couch since then? I don't know what he's talking about, but I assume he's referring to Ballantyne, who just went, took the off-ramp to Crazy Town. Brady writes in, hey, Rod, I feel bad for the CFL players who will be making less than $20,000 to return to the game and get their heads beat in and the possibility of catching COVID. I love the move of Vladdy to first. There's been several players who've started out at third and gone to first and have become superstars. That's from Brady. So he is falling. Clark has brainwashed everybody into this being a great idea. Way to go, Clark. You should be sitting in this chair.
Less responsibility, potentially,
yeah,
on the fielding side. And if he's more confident coming off the field after a good inning and less mistakes, then hopefully that leads to more confidence at the plate.
Somebody's calling the text line. Clark just yelled, just answer it.
Hold
oh,
it
I should. No.
That would be
it's
great.
It's obviously a wrong number. It's not a call-in show. People know that by now, don't they? If they were interesting, they'd have their own show. Breaking news from our friends at the CEBL. Their emails come in very small print. With only 10 days to tip off on July 25th, CBC Sports and the Canadian Elite Basketball League introduced the on-air talent today who will deliver all the excitement of Canada's National Professional Basketball League to viewers across the country as part of the CEBL Summer Series. Do you want to hear who it is? What? Did you put your name in the hat?
Come on.
Road to the Olympic Games host Andy Petrillo. You knew she was going to be in there.
Of course. She's a rock star.
Yeah. And former pro basketball player Jevon Shepherd will host all seven TV games on the CBC. Peter Ruttgeiser will handle the play-by-play alongside Joe Rasso, who will be providing the in-game analysis from the Meridian Center in St. John's Catherine. St. Catharines, Ontario. Sorry. Raptors 905 analyst Amy Audibert will serve as sideline reporter. I was holding out hope for Mark Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy's good. They're all good.
They're all good.
I'm a little disappointed. No, I'm not. I knew that wasn't going to happen. It was so much fun doing the championship weekend in Saskatoon. Joe Rasso's been around the CEBL right from the beginning, too. There's a
Has
guy.
He
knows a lot about basketball, and he's really good on the air. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm really excited.
I'm really getting into the CEBL, and they treat us so well. Send us gear. Let us sit courtside. Yeah. What more do you want? Rockstar of the Day poll. It's up. Your options are Justin Dunk. Thank you. Nice work, Jordan. Robert Witchell, the executive director of the Jays Care Foundation. Drew Tate and Ryan Ballantyne. Justin Dunk is leading right now, folks. But that's because Three Down Nation retweeted the tweet, which we're all in favor of.
Of course.
If I had a vote today, I got to say Drew Tate. Can I say that?
Yeah.
That interview was amazing.
I'm saying it, too. I mean, Drew Tate, it was awesome. It's cool catching up with people like that, and when they get out in their element, and it just takes you inside, I mean, their life. And it, I mean, I love it. I love it. You live kind of vicariously through them for those few moments that they're on the air.
Well, what people, they love about this show is the realness, the authenticity of it. So as we go off the air here, because I got a lunch date at John's place with my doppelganger, Rob Peterson.
Okay.
Clark laughed because at the end of hour one, we ripped out our earpieces and sprinted out to the lobby where we have Game Plus on a big screen out there. And we're filming the end of hour one on Game Plus TV because it's, what, 15 seconds delayed?
It's about 7 seconds or 6 seconds. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
But it's a few seconds, and we just want to see ourselves on national TV.
We're so excited to be on Game Plus TV every day that we raced out there. And it's now on my Instagram story right now at Rod Peterson Official. I'll send it to you if you want to put it on yours. So I said to Darren, we can never lose the zest. We can never lose the excitement. And the point of that is having Drew Tate walking through the woods in Kingswood, Texas, doing an interview with us and then sitting on a tree stump is what made this show what it was a year ago. Because it was just the guys out of their element / in their element.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not what you or I or the viewer knew of them.
Correct. And that's exactly what it is.
And so we thank Drew Tate. We thank all the guys and gals that come on this show because it's just so darn much fun. We're done. Vote on our polls, please, and we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV Network.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.